responsible for our children, or we have to teach them be more responsible day by day for their life?
For our children, it depends on what age we talk, you know.
Okay,
of course, when they are like babies, like kids, even teenagers, of course, we have the responsibility to teach them, to train them, to help them, to support them.
I mean,
but when they become
the
18 years old,
and the earlier stages, we are more responsible.
Mm-hmm.
But gradually, little by little, this responsibility shifts.
Yeah, of course. When they become like 18, 20 years old, then of course in that age we have to let them to live independently more and more, to become independent. There's no need to help or support or train them like child, you know? Of course, that is. We have to train and bring up our children in a way that when they reach the age of puberty, or let's say the age of 20 or 19, then they should become able to live independently. This is the thing that we must do.
Okay, thank you. That was very short and very complete, thorough, well said. So today we talked about how to raise children. The challenges, I think we talked about some of the ideas that we have. We talked about how to raise the children, how to give them advice, and also we try to provide or shed some lights on the challenges. And I know this is really hard to raise the children in a foreign environment, in Western countries. And to those of you outside, it's so challenging. We need to pave the way, we need to study, to read, and also we need to talk to the experts and help and get help from people around us. Counseling is very important. We can counsel, we can talk to the experts, we can ask for guidance, and also we can take decision and we can start finding our way. I recently got a gift, a book related to parenting styles. I highly recommend it. The back cover was something like this: the first step to parenting is to find your balance in life. Do you have it? Without which you cannot move forward or even fall. Then learn to communicate effectively with yourself, communicate with the environment and people, and the Creator, Allah. And when you learn to communicate using these wings, these two wings, head and reach the highest possible place and thrive. Thank you, dear listeners. This is all the time we have. That was very great. Farewell. Bye-bye.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, yaquluha lana yawm al-qiyamati. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except him, and he has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hussein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program, we talk about different dimensions of the concept of humanity in the Holy Quran and the teachings that the Holy Quran has in this regard. In the previous episode, we ended up talking about different faculties of the human soul. We talked about the heart, we talked about intellect and reason, and we were talking about the obstacles that stop reason from functioning properly, and one of them was blindly following the tradition or the social habits. Another is blind obedience or blindly following the great ones or the personalities or the figures in the society. And said, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, the verse that reads, on the day of judgment, one excuse that wrongdoers bring for their action is that they say, "Inna ta'na sadatana." It is because we did this because our masters told us to do so, or wakubara'ana, the figures and the like famous popular figures in the society, they told us or they did something and we followed the suit and we did whatever they did. And I said this looks like some elements of it looks like the elements that we see in the cult of personality, that some people, they are so much devoted to a person without any proper reason, sometimes because they have some poverty in their soul, some holes, some problems, some insufficiency of the self, that they find to fill it up with the devotion to another person, this in itself might not be bad, because there are good applications of that as well. And the good application is when you take a role model for yourself. Taking a role model, especially if it is done according to your rational analysis, rational assessment, is something good in all careers, all the things that we do to achieve success. It's very difficult to achieve success without role models. Role models are very good to have. It's no problem. But the problem arises when people, some people, the role model that they have, for example, let's assume I like soccer, football, and I like this football player very much. But this relationship goes beyond this field of soccer playing, and it goes to other areas of life. Well, I forget that, well, he's a good person in the field, in the soccer field, and he shoots the ball well. I don't know. But doesn't mean he is a good role model in terms of the, I don't know, akhlaq or manners or anything else. And this happens with people, especially the youth, that they sometimes lose the compass that they had because of the devotion, inner devotion that you have to a personality. And they think that whatever that he does or she does, I don't know, based on the celebrity that they have, and pretty much like the cult of personalities, they have fans, as you have heard. And these fans, sometimes they go to the extreme level, and exactly the behaviors that you see in the cult of personality, you see among these fans, so-called fans. And yes, and sometimes the behavior that they have overflow to society as well. And you see a trend in society that starts because of that such celebrity did something, and then his fans or her fans, they continue doing that in the communities. And completely according to the verses of the Holy Quran, there are some instances of ata'na sadatana wa kubara'ana, just because they're figures, famous, popular, everybody else, without even questioning or critical thinking, follow them. We will have a break and we come back to continue our discussion.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to the program for Humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first episode, we were left with a little bit of the discussion that we had in the previous episode about the cult of personality as one obstacle in the way of reason, proper fulfillment of the duties of the reason. And we said sometimes those excuses and empty justifications actually will hinder a person from following what he thinks correct, and it changes the compass of the person to the wrong direction. Another obstacle in the way of reason is conceit and arrogance, according to the verses of the Holy Quran. And these are not actually exclusive, meaning that a person could have all of these together, like blind following of the social habits, blind or devotion to one personality, and at the same time arrogance, which stops a person from rethinking and reconsideration of his behaviors. So the verse of the Holy Quran in this regard reads like this: إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, those who يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ, it means that those who fight with the verses of the Holy Quran, or with the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, better to be translated. Ayat means signs. They do jadal, they always argue against the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if you're driving and there's a sign telling you, yes, there's a danger, and you stop and you, I don't know, start fighting with the sign, trying to destroy it or trying to say, no, this doesn't mean that, this playing with it, arguing it. The sign's function is to help you find your direction. If you start arguing against it, it doesn't help. So, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُجَادِلُونَ فِي آيَاتِ اللَّهِ بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ أَتَاهُمْ. Without any basis, without any sultan means here. Here means solid evidence. بِغَيْرِ سُلْطَانٍ, without any solid evidence. Just because there's a possibility that the narrative of, I don't know, creation could be different than, it's just a possibility. You don't have solid evidence for that. You don't have solid evidence about anything. Like the claims of Alamul Ghaib that the Quran makes, we don't have solid evidence. Only because there's a possibility, there's a probability that this is different, it doesn't make your case valid. But they just bring in those possibilities, those probabilities. بغير سلطان, without any, we will talk about it when we talk about conjecture. People who follow conjecture. إِنَ فِي صُدُورِهِمْ إِلَّا كِبْرٌ مَا هُمْ بِبَالِغِي. They do that only because of the arrogance, because of the conceit, because they want to show themselves as, yes, I'm a person of my own, I'm different, I don't know. So this is kibr, this is to have like attention-seeking disorder, to be at the center of the attention of others, always arguing with the truth, always arguing without any sultan, without any solid evidence. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us not to fall into the traps of shaitan and to help us understand the beautiful teachings of our religion. Thank you very much for listening. Inshallah, until next episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad وعلى آل النبي صلى الله على محمد صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Ayahs, 30 days. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, every faithful too, according to the extent that they had learned from the Ahlul Bayt, embarked on this heavy duty. So, the ulama that are Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job till the present day. Today, this duty has become highly important due to the broad assault of enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. Dear listeners, in the seventh episode of this Ramadan series, we are going to focus on Ayah 104 of Surah An'am of the Noble Quran. This ayah is about insight and deep realization of religion and requirements of time and age. Stay tuned, please. The days of the blessed month of Ramadan are the best opportunity to contemplate on ourselves and the philosophy and meaning of life with regards to the circumstances of modern world. Definitely, improvement and perfection in every human aspect requires full awareness and information on the path to move in. God says in Ayah 104 of Surah An'am of the Noble Quran, "Certainly insights have come to you from your Lord, so whoever sees, it is to the benefit of his own soul, and whoever remains blind, it is to its detriment." Some of the great lexicographers of Arabic language believe that the word basirat, insight, is the belief of heart in a religious issue or a reality. Some others have described it as smartness and admonition. The commander of the faithful, Imam Ali, peace upon him, says in Nahjul Balagha, "Indeed, an insightful person is he who hears and thinks, looks and attains foresight, then is admonished, so moves in the clear path and avoids falling in precipice." If one is insightful, he will be able to see near and far in warrens, just as we should be careful not to fall in precipice and traps in spiritual and social affairs too. We have to take care not to be deceived or go astray. Once a man called Ishaq ibn Ammar came to the 16th infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, and told him, "I have a neighbor who performs prayer a lot, helps the needy, and goes on Hajj pilgrimage very much. I have not seen any wrong from him. What kind of person is he in your opinion?" Imam Sadiq, peace upon him, asked him, "How is his insight?" The man answered, "He's not that aware and has no insight in religion." The Imam answered instantly, "So he will not gain high rank with these worships either." An insightful person can recognize various currents and encounter them vigilantly. He can discern the plots of enemies and choose his duty towards them. God says in the Quran that faith is the most important factor to attain insight. Insight is the means to differentiate between good and evil, between right and wrong. God-wariness strengthens insight and helps the person to act smartly and wakefully. He will thwart the plots of enemies. The father of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, had an exemplary insight due to his God-wariness. When he was on exile in Nofello Chateau, in the outskirts of Paris, he would not accept private meetings with various personalities, saying, "We have no private place." He used to hold meetings with several persons to witness the whole meeting so that no word would be decreased or increased to the talks. This is what today is happening through compound war and media war. This is called media literacy and considered as a part of insight. Therefore, insight is like having eye in confrontation of various events. Masoud Rajavi, head of the MKO terrorist grouplet, asked for a meeting with Ayatollah Beheshti, who was the judiciary chief in early 1980s. Ayatollah Beheshti accepted his request. Rajavi announced in a meeting that the MKO members were ready to pay allegiance with Ayatollah Beheshti, provided that he accepts their conditions. Martyr Beheshti told him, "Our difference with you is not a superficial difference. It is rather a deep difference originated in basic beliefs. My argument for you is that you don't even know Marxism." Then he read out part of Karl Marx's book, Capital, German, and translated it. He said to Rajavi, If you refer to the original German book, you will notice that there are many fundamental mistakes in definition of Marx economy. You have mixed principles under with the name of Islamic economy and Marxist economy and have found your ideology on this basis. This, while you should have recognized, acted, promoted, and explicated Islam according to its own principles. This very erroneous perception of Islam caused MKO terrorists to murder over 17,000 innocent people in terrorist operations, most of whom were ordinary men, women, and children. One of the most indelible stains in the MKO record was the terrorist blast in which Ayatollah Beheshti and over 70 of the companions of Imam Khomeini were martyred. The more one reflects on the ayahs of the Qur'an and the statements of the Prophet and his infallible progeny, the more he or she will gain insight and the power to analyze events and conditions. We are duty-bound to think deeply on various events and affairs. This will help us to come to a clear conclusion instead of being trapped in hollow and poor analysis. Weak analysis has been the pitfall of many societies and personalities throughout history. Zulkela was among the companions of Imam Ali, peace upon him, but owing to lack of insight, he was deviated and joined Muawiyah's camp and then became one of his commanders. Although he was fighting in front of falsehood, he thought that he was struggling for God and defending truth. Seeing the Prophet's loyal companion, Ammar Yasir, Zulkela remembered the words of the Prophet when he said, "Ammar will be killed by a rebellious lot." This was going to shake him and that of the many of the deceived forces in Muawiyah's camp as they could see Ammar on the other side. When Muawiyah noticed this hesitation among his camp, he immediately answered Zulkela, "Who knows whether Ammar will stay with Ali and not join us?" Lack of insight and deep ignorance caused Zulkela to be convinced and stay with the rebel, Muawiyah. He was killed. Ammar was martyred after him to clarify the truthfulness of the Prophet and rightfulness of Imam Ali and his companions. Muawiyah was happy as Zulkela was killed before Ammar because he knew well that had he seen Ammar's martyrdom, half of the Muawiyah's troops would have joined Imam Ali. This is ignorance and stupidity which extinguishes the light of insight.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulema's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Please stay tuned.
ماه رمضان آغاز سال تربیتی است.
The holy month of Ramadan is the beginning of training year. We have different types of years: solar year, lunar year, year of homes, etc. The solar year starts with the spring season. The lunar year starts with the month of Muharram. January is the first month of the Gregorian calendar. Also, the start of the year for paying homes might be different among the people. However, we read in Haditha that the start of the training or self-cultivation year is the holy month of Ramadan. Ramadan is the beginning of the year for reformation and spiritual development. Similar to the nature which becomes new and young in the spring season, humans' spiritual state becomes new and renovated by the start of the holy month of Ramadan. Also, it is similar to the year of homes, which cleans the income and earnings from impurities. All in all, the holy month of Ramadan is a new start for those who want to have a new start in their religious and spiritual life. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Ulema's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering your doubts and questions. And questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La
ilaha illallah. Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, where welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom and Islamic scholar, Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to discuss another interesting topic regarding Islamic topics. It's very much related to a relation between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and human beings in terms of the creation. Now, the major question is that it is believed, and according to the verses of ayahs of the Holy Quran, we have that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blow some of his spirit into the spirit or the soul of the human beings. So if the human's soul is consisted of the Allah's soul, why chastisement for some of the people in the other world?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, we should know that, as you rightly mentioned in the Holy Quran, it is mentioned explicitly that our soul is, or spirit is, from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's soul. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. This is the phrase that we have in the Holy Quran. And since Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, let's say, obliged or majbur, as we can say, or predestinedly do something, that's why he is of free will. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has free will.
Yes.
So this is the nature of the soul that we are bestowed upon by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
That's right.
That's why our soul is also equipped with free will. And we are free. So that's why, since we are free, since we have this capability to decide freely either to go to the right path or the wrong path, mm-hmm. it is our own decision, then we ourselves built either Jannah for ourselves,
yes,
or hell and Jahannam for ourselves. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us not for punishment, rather for gaining perfection, gaining proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But of course, since we have this free will and we have this irada and ikhtiyar, as it is mentioned in the riwayat, based on which some of the people freely decide not to follow the right path.
Yes.
Then, of course, the punishment will be the consequences of their own deeds, not a divinely decision.
That's all right. So, and this is, I think, a very important virtue or merit for the human beings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better to say, breathe into the soul of the human beings from his own spirit, according to the ayah of the Holy Quran, Surah Sad, ayah 72. So when I propitiate him and breathe into him of my spirit, then fall down in prostration before him. So I have a thanksgiving. The people must be thankful for such a merit. And is it so? I mean, this nafakhtu fihi min ruhi, is it only for human beings or no? The animals and the plants are also considered to be among those people who benefit from the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
What is for sure and certain is for human being that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created, according to the riwayat, when he created mankind and human being, he said that فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. He praised and appreciated himself for creating man.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what, according to the riwayat which are mentioned in the chapter Al-Aqli wal-Kitab Al-Aqli wal-Jahl in Usul Al-Kafi, there are lots of riwayat about the importance of Aql, about the status and position of Aql in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped man with aql, with intellect, he praised himself. Because this is aql that understands and perceives wrong and, let's say, truth, correct and false. And then it is aql that decides freely either to to go which way, wrong or let's say false.
Yes.
That is why it is only mankind that are equipped with such a, let's say, capacity and capability. And when it comes to the angels, angels are not equipped with these kind of things, or animals are also not like that. That's why man is the best creature among all the creatures of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes. As he bestowed upon us from his own soul.
That's right. And as I read the ayah of the Quran, the angels prostrated before human beings. Is it so?
Yeah, it is because, yes, it is because of the status, the high rank and status of human being, as he is superior than, let's say,
even angels,
if they commit no sin.
Okay. And this nafakhtu fihi min ruhi, I mean, how is the mechanism? Is it, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put some of his spirit or blow into it, we can say some of, or breathe into it some of his spirit, or no, it is just a metaphorical sense, allegorical and metaphorical sense of the word.
You know, since life is from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is the real life is only for Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The life of other creatures are all from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why when sometimes you see that the body is there, all the organs are inside the body, but body is not working, it's not moving, there's no life in the body. It means that it is the life itself which is which relates to the spirit and the soul of mankind. This soul is from a kind of divinely or heavenly kind of source, that is from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave life to the body of man.
Yes.
Because body of man without soul, without spirit, has no life.
Uh-huh.
This blowing into the body, it means that giving or bestowing upon the body of man the soul, it means the life. Because life, according to the Muslim philosophers, the main characteristic of life is understanding, perception, conceiving,
yes,
and intellectuality, thought. These are the main characteristics of life. The one who is the one who is provided with the perfect level of life, he is the one who can think, who can gain knowledge, who can perfect himself in terms of thoughts, knowledge, yes, these sort of things.
Okay.
That's why this capacity and capability that is given to human being is only from the soul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he is the main source of knowledge, the main source of hayat, the main source of pleasure. That's why everything is from him and for him and will return to him.
That's all right.
When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created paradise and hell, Jannah and Jahannam, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did was to send Jibreel alayhi salam. And he sent Jibreel alayhi salam to Jannah. And he said, go and see what I have prepared for my slave who worships me and is obedient to me. Jibreel alayhi salam, he went and he saw the splendors of Jannah. He saw those things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind can comprehend.
And similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then instructed Jibreel alayhi salam to go and see Jahannam. And Jibreel alayhi salam, he went and he saw the ferocity of the fire of Jahannam. He saw one part of the flame engulfing another part, enveloping the other part of the flame. He saw the horrors of Jahannam. And he came back, he said, oh Allah, by your glory there will be no one who will enter Jahannam. It's so scary and gruesome.
What is more populated, heaven or hell? There are Muslims who believe that the vast majority of people go to heaven. It's that Shia school of thought. Where it goes, the logic behind it goes like this. God is just. God says, follow the law. Humanity is divided into three groups. One group that knows the truth and follows it. Of course, those will go to heaven, right? One group that knows the truth and rejects it. But the vast majority of humans fall in the middle. The vast majority of people on the face of the earth would follow the truth if they were given an equal chance to know where the truth is. But it is that most people, due to environmental and other influences, are not given an equal chance to know the truth. So the vast majority of people go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said, because the spirit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breathes into the soul of human beings, so he has a very much high status. So can we say that the chastisement, especially the severe ones that are mentioned in the Holy Quran for the human beings, is in accordance with the high status of the human beings? I mean, because human beings, in comparison to the other animals and plants, are born with a very much higher status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them specifically, even higher than angels. So the chastisement and the adab must be in accordance with their status too? Can we say that?
Yes, of course. You know, before answering this question, one important question is here is that why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with free will?
Uh-huh.
Why we are not created like animals?
Yes.
Why we are not created like, for example, angels without any free will?
Yes.
The response is that the best creation or the perfect creation is the creation that we be equipped with free will. If man is created like animals, of course, it was a kind of imperfection. It was a kind of deficiency in the creation of man.
Yes.
If we were created in a way that we were forcefully, for example, follow something, again, it was like an imperfect kind of creation. That's why If we have two choices, one choice is that man should be created without free will, and the other choice is that man should be created with free will. Now, which one is better? Which one is more complete? Which one is more perfect? Of course, the one side in which the man is with free will.
Yes.
So that is why Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created man with free will. And of course, the responsibilities of all these good deeds and bad deeds that he might do, he might perform in his life, all of them also go to to the man
yes.
himself. That's why it should not be blamed on the creator of the man. Rather, it should be related and blamed on the man himself and herself.
Yes.
That is why, of course, it depends that in what status, in what rank you are, of course, then your punishment, your rewards will be always in line with that position and status.
That's all right. Okay. Thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. But all in all, we could say that human beings must value themselves because of the high position and the special position that they have among all the creatures. They are called as Ashraf al-Makhlouqat. I mean, the best of the creatures of all, the Vicegerent and Khalifatullah, you know, they are given such titles by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is because of their special status in this world and their creation. So all in all, we could see that this spirit is put by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is divine. Yes. If you want to get perfect, you have to abide by the religious obligations or at least work on your spirituality. If you want to get as close as possible or find qurbatan ilallah, proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of spiritual growth. I mean, the ground, which is very much fertile, is over there, Shaykh, isn't
it? Yes, of course. You know, it is like this, that when someone, for example, establish and build a university,
yes.
And that university, for example, maybe thousands and hundreds of thousands of students might attend the classes and take part to those courses that university had for them. But at the end of the day, you see that some of them, few of these students will get to the highest levels,
right.
But the rest of them will fail.
Okay.
Here, no one blame it on the university, on the professors of the university. No one blame it on, for example, the Ministry of the Science.
Yes.
All of them will be thankful and grateful to the university, grateful to the officials and authorities of the university. Everything blames on the students who themselves, for example, did not study, did not, for example, make use of those opportunities and chances that they had. Same is the case with us. We are provided with such a university in this world. It is a blessing for us.
Yes.
But if we ourselves do not want to, for example, achieve or attain perfection and proximity to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will be blamed on ourselves.
That's right.
Not on anyone else. That's why we ourselves might devalue ourselves. We ourselves might, go to the wrong way and wrong path. And we ourselves will build Jahannam for ourselves.
Yes.
This is the way that we can do.
Okay.
We are free. We can do that.
Yes, that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن.
In the limelight.
This Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine due to the occupying regime's policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, Ramadan, one of the most sacred months for Muslims worldwide, blends spiritual introspection with family life in the community, especially during the breaking of the fast known as Iftar. But for the inhabitants of the war-ravaged Gaza, this month will be different from all previous ones. Gaza has been enduring a genocidal war marked by bombings, siege, and the dehumanization of Palestinians. This dehumanization turns children, pregnant women, and the elderly into legitimate targets of Zionist colonial brutality. Harrowing images from Gaza have become symbols of the cruelty of the settler colonial entity. This Ramadan, the residents of Gaza are facing famine due to the occupying regime's policy of deliberate starvation, with the sole objective being to make Gaza virtually uninhabitable. This situation arises because the Zionist regime has failed to weaken the Hamas resistance group militarily or propose a plan for Gaza's future that does not involve Hamas as a representative of the people. As a consequence of these abject failures, the Zionist regime has opted for a new strategy in Gaza to create a situation where no one emerges victorious, even though it is the regime that has faced defeat. The strategy of rendering Gaza uninhabitable and ungovernable involves provoking absolute chaos in the territory and creating a situation of full-scale famine. According to this toxic colonial strategy, if no political force is capable of maintaining even a minimum of governmental stability in the territory, it becomes entirely dependent on humanitarian aid. In the case of Gaza, the famine strategy designed by the Zionist colonial occupation is complemented by the distribution of humanitarian aid by the United States, described by many as a show, reinforcing the dependency of the Palestinian territory and keeping it in a state of permanent chaos. Already, nearly 31,200 Palestinians, including 14,000 children and 9,000 children, have died due to the genocidal war. The famine imposed by the Zionist regime has claimed the lives of at least 27 people, most of them children, who died due to malnutrition and dehydration. The images of malnourished bodies have become common on social media in recent days, even though the mainstream Western media continues to reduce these colossal human losses into cold statistics. The graphic images of mutilated bodies or malnourished babies are part of the daily reality faced by Palestinians. The issue is not to create despair or evoke sympathy, but to expose the atrocities of Zionist colonial occupation, which has assumed frightening proportions since October 7th. The Zionist regime obsessively concerns itself with its public image, making desperate attempts to hide its genocidal crimes. However, in the battle for narratives, Zionist Hasbara, the propaganda organ of the colonial entity, has failed to conceal the reality of genocide and starvation it has imposed on Palestinians. During this holy month, it is also important to highlight the colonial expansion in other parts of Palestine, such as in the occupied West Bank. Last week, the colonial entity approved the construction of more illegal settlements in the region. Many tougher restrictions have also been imposed on Palestinian worshippers from accessing the Al-Aqsa Mosque during this sacred month, with reports of multiple deadly raids in several parts of occupied Al-Quds, resulting in the death of at least 4 Palestinians. One of them was a 13-year-old boy who was shot and killed by an Israeli sniper while bursting firecrackers outside his house near Shafat Camp in occupied Al-Quds. The genocide and starvation in Gaza are meticulously designed to inflict harm and create atrocious conditions for the local population. Several Gaza residents have spoken about the deliberate destruction of farmland in the area, aiming to keep the population subdued and deprived of any ability to feed themselves. The destruction of fertile soil in Gaza with the clear aim of causing famine can also be understood through the decision of the occupying army to flood tunnels with seawater. According to several experts, this action would have led to the destruction of these soils and their potential agricultural use. Amidst death and destruction, the child killer regime of Israel continues its psychological warfare against Palestinians. The leaflets dropped by the regime urged people to feed the needy, which rights activists perceive as a cruel irony given the situation of famine imposed by the regime itself. The message of feeding the needy reveals the insignificance of Palestinian lives to the colonial forces. Furthermore, it underscores the dehumanization of the Palestinian population and, along with it, the normalization of extermination, domination, exploitation, premature death, and even conditions worse than death, such as ruthless torture. For decades, Palestinians have lived in constant anticipation of death, a reality dating back even before 1947. Colonized individuals live anticipating degradation, humiliation, and murder. During the month of Ramadan, the Muslim community is particularly aware of the divine blessings in their daily lives. The notion of divinity should not be interpreted as something separate from earthly reality. On the contrary, the divinity of the Quran implies a political struggle to establish a just community in this world. We cannot speak of justice, much less build a just society, while Gaza and the rest of Palestine continue to suffer genocide and starvation. This must be the message during Ramadan.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our